Radio Prague News.
Czech tennis star Nicole Vajíčková has defeated Emily Maresmo in a surprise upset at the French Open. The Civic Democrats, who won the largest share of the vote in this past weekend's general elections, have taken the first steps in trying to form a new government. And 45 Czech soldiers have left for a peacekeeping mission in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Seventeen-year-old Czech tennis star Nicole Vajíčková has defeated world number one ranked Amélie Maresmo and earned a place in the quarterfinals at the French Open. Vajíčková won her match against the French favorite in just over 2 hours of play, the score being 6-7, 6-1, 6-2. It is the first time that Nicole Vajíčková has reached the quarterfinals in a Grand Slam tournament. Vajíčková will now face American Venus Williams in the next round at Roland Garros. The right-of-center Civic Democrats have decided that the chairman of the party, Mirek Topolánek, and his two deputies, Petr Nečas and Pavel Bem, will head the negotiations about the formation of a new government. Mirek Topolánek has said that his aim is to form a coalition with the Christian Democrats and the Greens, and this in the quickest time frame possible. Mirek Topolánek also added that he would seek support for a new cabinet from all parties in the lower house, with the exception of the communists. On Monday morning, President Václav Klaus formally entrusted the leader of the Civic Democrats, Mirek Topolánek, with the task of forming a new government. The Civic Democrats won the largest share of the vote in the weekend's general elections, earning 81 out of a possible 200 seats in the lower house. 45 Czech soldiers, two of them women, from the 72nd Mechanical Battalion have left for a six-month mission in Bosnia-Herzegovina. They will provide security services as part of the European Union's peacekeeping operations in the region. This is the first time that soldiers from the 72nd Mechanical Battalion are serving as part of an international mission. Another 20 soldiers are due to join the group in mid-June. 22 European countries participate in EUFOR missions, and the Czech Republic joined this international team in July 2004. And finally, a look at the weather. It should be partly cloudy and chilly in the next few days, with daytime temperatures ranging from 12 to 16 degrees Celsius. Occasional rain is forecast in most parts of the country. I'm Linda Mashtalit, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Pavla Horáková. The weekend election produced a stalemate on the Czech political scene. What are the options now? While the right-of-centre Civic Democrats have been successful in the west of the country, the east has voted for the political left. We ask why. And of course, we'll have the latest in Czech sport. Stay tuned. Czechs have gone to the polls. After 8 years in government, the Social Democrats are to make room for the opposition right-of-centre Civic Democrats with their sweeping promises of pro-market reforms and tax cuts. But this is not the end of the story. The Civic Democrats will only be able to form a majority government if they join forces with the Social Democrats. They have already rejected any form of cooperation with the communists. The leaders of the Civic Democrats and the Social Democrats so far rule out a grand coalition, leaving the country in political deadlock. Dita Asiadu reports.
Now, the weekend's elections have the Czech political scene split in the middle. The lower house of parliament, the Chamber of Deputies, is made up of 200 seats. But exactly 100 MPs will represent the left in the form of the Social Democrats and the communists. The other half will be made up of the winning Civic Democrats and the Christian Democrats, both right of centre, along with the centrist Greens, newcomers to the lower house.
Now, don't let's pretend that you'll be able to form a majority government. Are you planning to buy someone's support? What are you going to do?
The leader of the Communist Party, Vojtěch Filip, said during a TV debate on Sunday. And he's not that far from the truth, political commentator Jan Bureš.
I think that the situation is really very, very complicated because both parties, both blocs, don't have majority in the parliament. In my opinion, I think that there will be the first possibility is to build the coalition between Civic Democratic Party, the Green Party, and Christian Democrats. But they must looking for some support from Social Democratic Party, and it will be very interesting process if the Social Democrats will be accept this situation, and if they will want to support this center-right coalition.
But talks with the Social Democrats could have their complications. In a surprise statement shortly after the election results came in on Saturday, Prime Minister and Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek called into question the validity of the whole poll, accusing the Civic Democrats of holding an unethical election campaign and orchestrating several scandals to discredit him and his party.
I filed a criminal complaint against Mr. Topolánek for claiming that I have been meeting with the heads of the Prague Mafia. A police investigation is also underway into other damaging allegations. Should my words be confirmed, then we'll take the necessary steps to call into question the validity of the elections.
In a television debate, the Prime Minister and Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek was happy to point out to the other party leaders that his party will play an important role in the country's political future.
I would like to remind you, gentlemen, just in case you haven't realized it yet, that you will not even be able to lift a finger without us, the opposition.
At their party leadership meeting on Sunday, the Social Democrats decided that they would prefer to go into opposition, but they've not rejected outright some kind of coalition. On Monday, President Václav Klaus officially entrusted Civic Democrat leader Mirek Topolánek with the formation of a new government. Mr. Topolánek will first hold talks with the Christian Democrats and the Greens, but he'll not necessarily stop there.
In the next few days, we'll try to hold talks with the potential partners, and I won't exclude the Social Democrats, in order to be able to sort out the situation we find ourselves in.
Mr. Topolánek has vowed to step down as party leader if he fails to form a new government. The constitution allows 3 tries at forming a government. Should they fail, the country will face early elections. So no matter what happens, the Civic Democrats will face some tough negotiations, and the Czech Republic can brace itself for several weeks of political uncertainty.
That was Dieter Asiedu reporting. Now, as we've said earlier, the weekend's elections have produced a perfect split in Parliament. If you look at a map of the election results, it also shows an almost perfect split in the way Czechs voted. Throughout Moravia, the eastern part of the country, more voted in favour of the left-leaning Social Democrats, while most of Bohemia, the western part of the Czech Republic, cast more votes for the right-of-centre Civic Democrats. Radio Prague's Brian Sabin spoke with political analysts in both parts of the country to examine possible causes of this split.
Picture a map of the Czech Republic. It almost looks like a jagged kidney with its larger western end jutting out into Germany. In the middle, an imaginary line divides Bohemia, which sits in the west and includes Prague, and Moravia to the east. If you move to the east, the vote swings more towards the left-leaning parties. All 5 regions of Moravia voted in favor of the Social Democrats. Their greatest rival, the Civic Democrats, came away with victory in 8 of the 9 Bohemian regions. Věra Stiskalíková is from the Department of Political Science at Masaryk University in Brno, the capital of Moravia. She says that it's too simple to characterize the election results as Bohemia versus Moravia. The areas are by no means homogeneous.
You can't talk as Moravia as a whole, you know. Southern Moravia is rich, southern and central. But northern Moravia, it's kind of, you can compare it with the western Bohemia. You know, it's a poorer region. So you can't really take it as Moravia versus Bohemia.
Political scientist Borzivoj Nizdo says economic differences are one main cause of the division in voting. It's not surprising that areas hit by high unemployment and social uncertainty have always leaned more to the left.
One aspect can be economic one. unemployment in Ostrava region is much higher than in some part of central Bohemia, especially in Prague. We know that in Prague the unemployment actually is not a problem at all, because the numbers are about 2-3%, so it's not a problem in Prague. In Ostrava region it's much higher than average of Czech Republic, which is roughly 9% at the moment.
Vera Stiskalikova agrees.
If you look at the election map, you've seen that the Socialist Party, they won in Moravia, and then in the western part of Bohemia, where the unemployment is quite high. The people in northern Moravia, there is, I don't know, 17% of people being unemployed. So they would vote either for the Communist Party or for the Socialist Party.
The one place in Bohemia that saw the Civic Democrats defeated was the northwest region of Uski nad Labem, one area in the west of the country that closely resembles economic conditions in the east. Even so, there, as in many other regions, the voting was close, with the Civic Democrats finishing a close second. It seems Czech politics had become far more polarized than in the past, with the two largest parties also snapping up the majority of the votes.
This polarization is here, and I think will stay with us, because voters now know, maybe more than before, that actually it's quite important to find decision if I will vote this or that political party. So this polarization maybe will be even more visible in next election. But on the other side, I think that there is position, there is a role for minor political parties, and these parties won't disappear from Czech political scene.
Political analyst Bořivoj Hnízdo ending that report by Brian Sabin. You are tuned to Radio Prague, and now Ian Willoughby is here with the news from the sporting world.
First up today is some very good news from the world of tennis. The rising Czech star Nicole Vaidišová caused the sensation when she beat world number one Amélie Mauresmo in the fourth round of the French Open on Sunday. Though she has six WTA titles to her name, the 17-year-old had never previously beaten such a big star. But she had to work hard for that success, coming from a set down to win 6-7, 6-1, 6-2 and reach her first ever Grand Slam quarterfinals.
You're a bit nervous at the beginning, of course, but during the break, after the first set, I breathed deeply and relaxed. I told myself to forget the first set and concentrate on getting back into the game. It worked out, and I'm really glad.
Nicole Vaidišová, who will now take on Venus Williams for a place in the semifinals. By coincidence, leading Czech men's player Tomáš Berdych also faced the world number one on Sunday. But Berdych didn't fare as well as Vaidišová. He was crushed 6-3, 6-2, 6-3 by Roger Federer. That means no Czech men start the second week at Roland Garros. Football, and the Czech Republic beat Trinidad and Tobago 3-0 in Prague in the last of their warm-up games before the World Cup. All the goals came in the first half, one from Pavel Nedvěd and two from Jan Koller. Koller, the country's record scorer, has now stretched his tally to a very impressive 42 goals. His strike partner Milan Baroš joins Tomáš Rosický and Tomáš Galásek on the treatment table after picking up a knock in Saturday's game. The Czech team leave for Germany on Tuesday. They'll be staying by a lake in Vesterberg, which is around 120 kilometres from Cologne, the venue for their first game against the United States. They'll also drive to their second match against Ghana in Gelsenkirchen, but they'll have to fly to Hamburg, where they take on Italy in their last group game. Moving on to motorsport, and the Czech motorcyclist Lukáš Pešek finished third in the 125cc category at the Italian Grand Prix on Sunday. The 20-year-old said he was a bit disappointed with the result after starting the race in pole position.
And finally, Czech decathlete Roman Schebrle is third in this year's world table after coming first at a meeting in France's Arles at the weekend. Schebrle achieved a time of 10.79 seconds in the 100 metres, but that result won't be recognised due to strong backwinds during the race. That's all the sport for today.
Ian Willoughby there with the sports news. You are listening to Radio Prague, and it's time now for our interview programme, One on One, this time with Rob Cameron.
It's not often you get the chance to talk about history with those who participated in it. But recently, while covering a festival of Jewish culture in the South Moravian town of Mikulov, I had that chance. The festival marked the 60th anniversary of the foundation of Mikulov's Jewish Museum for Moravia and Silesia, which was closed when the Nazis arrived in 1938. Among the guests was William Telcher, son of the museum's founder, Richard Telcher. William Telcher fled the Nazis in 1938 and emigrated to London, where he's lived ever since. Now 83, he made a special journey to Mikulov to commemorate the anniversary.
Well, I was born in the nearest maternity home to Mikulov, which was Vienna, but I lived in Mikulov till the age of 15.
So it must be an extraordinary feeling for you to come back here so many years later.
Well, it is a mixture of nostalgia, recherche du temps perdu, at the same time, a memorial to my father and to his collaborators who so tragically perished.
Tell me a bit about what it was like, your recollections of life for a Jewish family here in Mikulov.
Well, it was a happy time, overshadowed by what we were witnessing in Austria after the Anschluss. It came to an end with the Munich Agreement.
And how old were you at the time of Munich?
That would have made me 15 years old.
So you were a 15-year-old schoolboy, but were you very aware of the events going on around you in Central Europe?
I was indeed. It was inescapable when half the family, in fact, lived across the border in Austria. Also locally, there were parades of Nazified majority ethnic Germans. The communities of the Jews and the Germans were, the relations were strained is not a sufficiently strong term. It particularly touched my family because my father was representative of the Jewish Party, which was a minority party in Czechoslovakia, and behind the scenes inspired local coalitions trying to ward off the spread of the anti-Semitic Sudetendeutsche Partei, which in fact was the guise of the Nazi Party within the Czechoslovak Republic.
Can you tell me how you escaped and survived the Holocaust?
Oh, my escape was simple. I was dispatched off to England because there was already a nucleus of uncles and aunts that had lived in Austria. The escape of the rest of the family was by no means so easy. The worst was my father, who was on the Gestapo hit list. They looked for him on the very first day of the occupation in Brno, by which time he was in Prague. When they looked in Prague, he was on the Polish frontier, crossed illegally into Poland, had then the unpleasant experience of being arrested by the Poles together with another group of refugees with the threat of an immediate return to the Czech border into the hands of the Gestapo, which prompted him to get permission to use the telephone. The Warsaw chief rabbi took this to be a matter of life and death and intervened with the Polish authorities, who in turn put pressure on the British to grant asylum, and eventually a boat was chartered and they came into the port of London eventually.
So you were reunited with your father in England. Did most of your family then survive the Holocaust?
In the immediate family, an indirect victim was my sister. We only had permission to stay in England with a view to leaving again and emigrating somewhere else. And Dream, she had just reached 18 and had been a brilliant student at the French Lycée in Prague. Aim of studying some art subject was frustrated, and she became depressed. She met a young man who was equally depressed, and in the upshot they jumped from Seven Sisters at Beachy Head. In the wider family, which was a large one, there were various uncles and aunts who were caught by the Holocaust and perished in the concentration camps. There's also a cousin of mine.
Were you ever tempted to move back to Czechoslovakia after 1945?
No. The decision that I'd made in England, and particularly after serving in the British Army, was that I was going to make my home here, and here being in England, I'm forgetting where I'm speaking from, and had to write off the previous experiences.
When did you get the opportunity to return to your homeland?
I returned in 1968. It was at the time of the discussions between the Russians and the Czechs at Chernia. And we felt that the couple of weeks we were going to spend were reasonably safe. In fact, we returned at the very moment that the Russians invaded.
What were your feelings when you returned to Mykolaiv for the first time since 1938?
It's a strange thing to define. It's a degree of nostalgia, I suppose, played its part. But the main thing was that it was a completely new population at that time, not as interested as the present generation in the continuity of the history, due to the various political developments that had intervened, I suppose.
Today, I'm speaking to you on this the launch of this Festival of Jewish Culture in Mykolaiv, and it's part of the Year of Jewish Culture. What do you think of these efforts to bring back to life the Jews of Mykolaiv?
I applaud it. I must say there is one thing which troubles me slightly, and that is the not the Czech part of this, but the Sudeten German part of it, which is trying to create a myth of the idyllic coexistence of the Jews and ethnic Germans. In my generation, this did not apply. As from 33 onwards, things progressively got worse and worse. And I think it was a German historian who said, Ranke, who said, write history as it is true, and this is not true.
And One-on-One with Rob Cameron has brought us to the end of the program. If you'd like to hear it again, just go to www.radio.cz, where you'll find all our current and past stories, both in sound and text. The address for your comments and questions is english@radio.cz or Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. But now from me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team here in the Czech capital, goodbye and thanks for being with us.